Well, that's really what we need. We don't need a summit of beer and bourbon, right? If they would get on their knees and pray like they did years ago before the Constitution, then I believe our country would be better off. But we need to pray for our country. And I love America. You love America? Say amen.
Amen.
We need to keep praying. Trust God will intervene and bring about his purposes. We're glad to have Brother Ben Burks with us today. He is the International Director of Reformers Unanimous. That is a ministry we've had here for a number of years, and God's hand has been on it. And it's on the ministry throughout the country and throughout the world, really. And I think you just went over or hit 1,000 different clubs, different groups throughout the world. And that's substantial. I mean, God is blessing and using that. He's been with us and spoke Friday night and did a seminar yesterday for all of our workers and taught a class this morning. And now we're going to let him preach again this morning and then tonight. And you're going to enjoy this. His wife, Wendy, is here. Wendy Sam, would you please? Let's give her a hand of welcome. We're glad she could be with him. Brother Burks, God bless you. You come preach to him.
Thank you, Pastor, so much. I've enjoyed this to be here at Worth Baptist Church, and we've looked forward to this opportunity. I bring you greetings from Dr. Paul Kingsbury. How many of you remember Pastor Kingsbury? He's been here many times, and he loves you, Pastor. He loves this place. Also bring you greetings from the Currington family, Lori and the children. Lori just got married this summer, so I got to quit saying the Currington family. She remarried a wonderful man in our church, and God's really blessed her, and the children are growing and serving the Lord. Those of you who don't know, Steve Currington was the one that founded RU many years ago, 1996, and he had a massive heart attack 4 years ago in October, a few days ago, and 4 years ago passed away. But the ministry continues, your pastor just said. We've seen 1,000 churches start RU. We're in 28 different foreign countries around the globe, and we have about 45,000 students that attend RU every Friday night around the nation. And thank God they're learning about the only truth that can make them free, Jesus Christ. Amen? Souls on the streets, addicted to sin, selling themselves to survive, not understanding the hope they can have in a place where God's love is alive. They doubt that they can meet the standards necessary. They feel they find rejection rather than a sanctuary. But this must be the place where broken hearts can mend. This must be the place where the outcast can find a friend. For we cannot reach the fallen if our hand still holds the stone. And the sin that seems so great to us is no greater than our own. There must be a point where shame meets grace, and this must be the place. Amen? One of the most amazing things Reformers Unanimous RU is it's been an incredible evangelistic tool to win people to Christ. But it's also an outstanding program of discipleship, teaching people how to live the crucified Christian life, how to get victory in their own lives over many, many, many different kinds of stubborn habits. You know, God's not pleased with your sin any more than he is somebody else's, right? And we all at times have besetting sins or things in our lives that want to control us. You know, an appetite is, a good word for addiction is any appetite on a binge. You think about that. Any appetite on a binge. Now, the Bible says we ought to have some good appetites, right? I mean, there's a verse in the Bible where it says Stephanos was addicted to the ministry. Praise the Lord for that. Thank God that people get addicted to God's Word and the preaching of God's Word and addicted to the love of God. Amen? But so many times, it's not those things that we're prone to wander toward. It's the other things that what I want to have and what I want to be and what I want to do. And RU is such a great ministry to get involved, to help others and to help yourself overcome. We just had a lady in our ministry that lost almost 100 pounds. And just God's just done some amazing things in her life. And it was no weight loss program. She learned some things about eating and exercise. But she learned what it meant to be Spirit-filled and Spirit-led. You know, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. He wants to coach you. He wants to help you live the crucified life. Amen? And we may speak on that subject a little bit more tonight. This morning, though, take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5. One of my favorite books in the Bible is the book of Romans. I love it. And if you'd stay here until about 9 o'clock tonight, I'd just teach all the way through it. And we'd get through it by sometime about 11 o'clock or so. And but we can't do that. It's amazing to see the testimonies in this church. And I want to commend Brother Tyler and his team. Has an outstanding A-plus premier chapter. Amen? And there's one thing I kidding him about yesterday that he needs to fix in order to be a premier chapter, but I think he's got that down. But we had a great time of training yesterday, and I want to thank the workers of the RU program here. Thank you for your faithfulness, and thank you for your steadfastness, and the students who are growing and developing. Boy, praise God for your testimony. Just keep relishing in the love of God. Keep living with His faithfulness and His commitment to you in mind. Amen? That's what will keep you from falling. Keep yourself in the love of God. By the way, I'm thankful for a church this morning that sings the old-fashioned songs. Amen? I'm thankful for the churches this morning here that is not trying to convince everybody, convince God that we love Him, but rather we try to convince ourselves that God loves us. Amen? That's what worship is, by the way. Worship is not trying to convince God of what I am. It's trying to convince us of what He is. I thank the Lord. I feel at home here this morning. It's just been a wonderful weekend for my wife and I, and we are delighted to be here. Romans chapter number 5. Let me just skip around here a little bit. Romans 5 starts out in verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Then verse number 10 says this, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. I love that phrase. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We know that to be the story of Adam and Eve, the first man and woman, in a paradise, a beautiful garden. And now I want you to notice with me, before we pray and preach this morning, the Bible says here in verse 15, look down to verse number 15, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense, notice the next two words, of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of by grace, which is, notice these words, by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Look, if you will, at verse number 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, here's another one, Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 19. For as by one man's, there it is, disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. So the law came here to show us how wicked and wrong we really are, amen? How desperate we really are. So the law shows that, verse number 21, I'm sorry, verse 20, and then it says these words, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, amen? And then verse number 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life. And it doesn't say by one here, it just concludes, by Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's pray to Him. Father, thank You so much for this wonderful book. I pray that you'll help me this morning to, as we just, Lord, I wanted to preach a three-point sermon this morning with a couple of illustrations, and for some reason this morning you've asked me to just come and chat for a few moments and bear my heart from this passage and what you've done around the country and around the globe. And Lord, the need of the hour of our churches to grasp fully the grace of God. Help us in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I read this passage, and when you read the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1 through 3, there's not a lot of good news. I mean, you know, we're all sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we're all undone, we're all unrighteous, you know, and there's not a lot of good between Romans chapter 1 and Romans chapter 3. Basically, you can summarize it by saying all of us are in trouble, all of us are sinners, none of us are fine, we're all worse than we think we are, you know. That's kind of what I got out of Romans chapter 1 through 3. But in chapter number 4, the good news begins to come in. And it's like eating a meal. It's like showing, hey, God's grace, His Son is going to come. And His Son came and died and was buried and rose again. And then chapter 5 begins to give us the ingredients, what I would call the ingredients of salvation. It gives us the ingredients of what took place to redeem you and redeem me, to salvage you and salvage me, to save you and save me. And as I look at this passage and begin to look at this, the writing here, by one, and it clearly is talking about the first Adam, and then what the Bible calls is the second Adam, or the last Adam. And he gives a comparison here. The first Adam embodies all of your problems and all of my problems. Amen? Now, you know, the Paul writes these words, and he comes and tells us with an assumption that we know about the beginning of mankind. We know about Adam and Eve in that garden. We call it the fall. I mean, you know, the serpent slipped in there and deceived Eve. Adam was not deceived. He knew exactly what he was doing, the New Testament tells us. But Eve was deceived. And she took of that fruit and she ate of it, and she gave to her husband also. And he that was there with her, and he ate of it, and then they sinned. And then here's the kicker. For as by one man's sin entered into the world. I mean, this guy, Adam and Eve, sinned in this garden, and now we have to pay for it? Yeah, you mean this guy made a mistake and this guy blew it? That's not just. And I, teenagers, you know, you think about this. You mean the whole class is going to get in trouble because that clown? Yep. That's exactly what God's teaching us here. And as I think about this and think about what took place in this passage, I don't like to call it the fall. I think it was an upper rebellion, if you call it anything. Because Satan lied to Eve, deceived Eve into thinking that if she could become independent, she could be liberated. If I could just be free, teenagers, if I could just find freedom and make my own decisions and make my own choices. By the way, he said you'll know good and evil. They knew all the good they were ever going to get to know God. Amen? The only thing they had to bargain was the evil. And let me just tell you, when you trade, you only trade boundaries for bondage. Because all of a sudden now they're saying, I want to be liberated. And if I can be independent, if I can make my own choices, if I can make my own decisions, then I can be liberated. You know, like the teenager, this is a fitting thought for today's celebration. But like a teenager grows up and he doesn't like the hard rule of mom and dad, so he just says, I'm going to go join the army, you know. Yeah. Like that's going to help, you know. And now the Marines, maybe you might get away with it. But anyway, no. But you know, we're all like that. And then ever since then, man has been on his own trek to find his own rescue, to be his own savior, to be his own redeemer, to pull himself up by the bootstraps and try harder to do better. I can make it. I can do it. The little engine that could. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. Oh, I thought I could. That humanistic philosophy is that I am my own rescuer. I am my own deliverer. I am my own savior. I am my own redeemer. And my friend, that never works out. We had a lady walk into our home. We have a... Not only do we have the programs like you have here, 1,000 of them that have started, we also have a men's home that holds about 40, 50 men, and a ladies' home holds 30, 40 ladies. And this one lady, her name was Heidi, she left Las Vegas and took a private jet to Rockford, Illinois. And her husband was a millionaire. He puts all the marble in all those big fancy hotels. And his brother was a pastor and told him about the program. And he was done with the marriage. He just wanted to get her out of sight and not embarrass him anymore. And she came to our program, and we found out her story. Heidi grew up there in Vegas, and she was in all kinds of things she shouldn't have been in. She grew up in a Jehovah's Witness home and prostitution and drug addiction and legalized drug addiction and on the list goes. And you could see Heidi from one end of the auditorium to the other, and you could see her, and you know she lived a tough life. I mean, when she showed up at our place, she had her hair was like bleached out. Not that some of that's not maybe okay, but, you know, just several different colors and looked real wild and brought attention to herself. And I don't think we ought to bring attention to us. Amen? We ought to bring attention to him. And, well, she put tattoos all over her body and on her arms. And real bright, the brightest color, I don't know that it was all over her body, but the ones that parts I could see, she had it on. And from one end to the other, you could tell. She showed up, and she's looking for Club Med. She's looking for the weight room. She's looking for the pool. She's looking for the sauna. We don't have that. We have rats in the attic. And boy, the next morning, she was fit to be tied. I mean, I'm out of here. She went to Brother Currington's office in those days, and she sat down, and she was fussing and cussing. I mean, I thought I was going to go in there and help him. I thought he was going to get beat up. And it settled down. My wife worked in my office next to me that back in those days, and a few minutes later, he comes out and brings Heidi out. And he says, Mr. and Ms. Birch, this is Heidi Postman. She lives in Las Vegas, and she's here for our 28-day program. And he's winking like that. Because there's no 28-day program. It's 8 months long back then. He has done conned this woman into staying 28 days. I am taking a vacation on the 27th day. And by the way, she's going to be working for you and Ms. Burks. Oh, brother, you know. She sits down, he leaves, and we get to know her a little bit. I found out she could type. So, preacher, I would handwrite my sermons before I got my iPad in those days, and I'd handwrite all my sermons out. And so I said, well, I'm going to leave on Friday. I'll be going Friday and Monday. So I'm going to give you these sermons. This is the template that I want you to use, and this is the margins, and this is how I want it done. And I want you to type these sermons up, and I'll get them on Tuesday morning when I arrive here and see how you did. So I left the office that day on Thursday evening and flew out of town, was gone Friday, Saturday, Sunday, flew back to town Monday, went back to work Tuesday. She walked to my office, and she sat down, and she took those papers and slid them across the hem. And I picked them up and looked at them, and she had them folded right, and they looked right, and everything, margins were right. There's a few things she couldn't figure out in my handwriting from airplanes. I'll blame it on the airplane. My wife says it's my handwriting, but whatever it is. So I said, this looks pretty good, Heidi. I like it. And she folded her arms. She said, I just got one question for you. I said, what's that? She said, are you ever going to use those, or did you just write them for me? Aren't you glad for the power of God's Word? I said, Heidi, I'm going to use those, but I don't mind if God uses them earlier, you know? It's fine with me. Man, we watched that girl get saved. Watched God begin to do a baptize. Watched God do a phenomenal work in her life. She became a joy bell. She became a singer that would travel with Brother Currington and his wife, and the girls would sing. And by the way, within a few days of being in Rockford, she got a letter from the lawyer where her husband was divorcing her. She got another lawyer from her daughter who was just, how old was she back then, honey? Probably 12 years old. And I hate you, Mommy. I never want to see you again. We had to help her through all this. She went out on a tour. She went out west and was singing and landed in Las Vegas there with the Currington family and was at a church. And the husband came, and he could not believe that was his wife. It had been such a transformation in a few months. That can't be the same woman. They began to talk. The next week he flew. When the tour was done, she went back to Rockford. He flew out to see her, and the kids got to see their mommy, and the letters began to change. The lawyers sent another letter saying your divorce has been canceled. Your husband wants to make it work. She was court ordered to our facility. She graduated from our program. She was there for more than 28 days, and she graduated. She went back to Las Vegas and stood before the judge that court ordered her to our program and showed the certificate and the CD that they had made and how God had transformed her life. You see, she had tried everything. She went to college. She got her GED, got some college education. She got a job, had children. She did everything she could to keep her head above water and to keep living the way she wanted to live. But my friend, you cannot be your own rescuer. You cannot be your own savior. Didn't work for her and it won't work for you. And she showed that judge all of these things, and he for 20 minutes sat on that bench and didn't speak a word with tears in his eyes. He said, I've never seen a changed life like I'm viewing right now. He says, I want to do everything I can to get as many of these RU programs in this city that I can. By the way, he started two there, amen? And it was instrumental in getting some money, and we're getting ready to do a third one right now. And I get posts from her. I get phone calls from her. My wife is in constant contact with her. And God has absolutely restored that family. They're working in a wonderful church there, serving the Lord. To God be the glory. Amen. I'm telling you, yes, one man blew it. And yes, but that one man was a representative. I want you to hang on to that word this morning. Say that word with me. Ready? Representative. Now, we know what that's all about. We just voted for some. At least I hope if you're a Christian, you did. Amen. Christians ought to vote. And we ought to go to the polls and we ought to vote. And the people we ought to vote for are not what you and I want to say we believe. We need to find somebody that believes the closest to this book right here and vote for them. That means... A man and a woman make up a marriage, not anything else. That's a marriage. And we need to vote for people who believe that. We need to vote for people who believe that marijuana is not good for people to indulge in or take or slip around and mess with. Amen. It's foolishness. Absolutely foolishness. You know, I wish I could tell you the stories, but I don't have time. Man. But you know, as we see this Adam and Eve, as we see this rebellion, as we see them rise up, as we see them search and seek for independence that ended in more bondage for many. You say, that's just not fair. Brother Burks, that's not fair. One man blow it and we all have to pay for it. No, the only reconciliation we can make in our minds is that you would have did the same thing Adam did, and you would have done the same thing Adam did, and you... Now, I wouldn't have, but you would have. Now, don't we all feel that way? But the truth is, we all would have made that same choice in that garden. He was a perfect, chosen representative by a sovereign God. Amen. Amen. And as I think about that, we need a Savior. We can't save ourselves. We can't be... And here's what happens with the people I deal with. They try to They try to save themselves. They try to rescue themselves. They try to recover themselves. And when that doesn't work, then they try to find somebody, human person, to save them. That's why they run from one relationship to the other, from one program to the other, from one event to the other. Because they're searching. And let me just say this to every Christian worker in the room. If you try to be and do for other people what only God wants to be and do for them, my friend, you're going to be a miserable servant of the Lord. There's a lot of people trying to be and do for, and that's called codependency. It's a mess. And the reason we get involved in that is because we like the pat on the back. We like the way we feel when we feel like we've rescued somebody. We've saved somebody. We've delivered somebody. We've helped somebody. Boy, that, you know. And if we're not careful, we'll create more havoc in their lives so we can rescue them again and again and again and again. Because, my friend, if you're a Christian this morning, you need to reconcile that there's only room for one Savior, and it's not you, and it's not me, it's Him, Jesus Christ. Amen? So we try to save ourselves, and then we try to find another rescuer, somebody else, human form, to save us. That didn't work. And we realize we're all broken. We are full of pride and greed and selfishness and love and self-love and hate and murder. And one guy made this mistake, and we're all going to have to suffer. And his sin was our rebellion, and his upward rebellion was the same as what ours is today. And we're all a bunch of, to wrap our minds around this aspect that one person standing in for many is exactly what this Bible teaches. One man, Adam, stood in for many. And one man, Jesus Christ, hallelujah, stands in for many. Amen. What a Savior who could take a poor lost sinner and reach down in the miry clay and set him free. I'm going to show you a quick illustration about what Jesus Christ did to rescue you and me and save us. Could you help me right up here? Just come right on up here real quick. What's your name? Jimmy. My name is Jimmy. I'll take all you give me. Come on up here. And that's how I remember Jimmy's name. But Jimmy, I want to give you one of these bags here. I learned this in South Africa. I was in South Africa and had this older man there tell me this story. These bags in South Africa are not called bags. They're called checkers. And he showed me this illustration after a week of meetings that I was preaching in. And I thought, man, I'm going to use that wonderful illustration. So he gave me a checker. And Jimmy, I'm going to give you that checker. And he said, you know, there's many things inside that account, that record of your life. And I'm going to start putting some things in there. And there's a lot of things in there that shouldn't be in there. There's sin in there. There's wickedness and wrong. And just like the sins of Adam, rebellion and doing our own thing. And boy, we have all that stuff in there. And then we start feeling bad about it. And we realize we're in a mess and things didn't work out. Death comes. For the wages of sin is what? Death. The word death is separation. We get separated from our license, separated from our families, separated from society, put in jail or prison, separated from whatever. And then we start feeling bad about it, so we try to put some good stuff in there. We try to go goodwill and do goodwill. But yet, the Bible says even our righteousness is filthy as rags. Even the good things we put in our account, in our bag, in our record, is God says that's not pleasing to me. You can't save yourself. Not by works of righteousness, which you have done, but according to His mercy, He saves us. And boy, we recognize, boy, the Bible says in Revelation 21, nobody can get to heaven like this. It only takes one sin. That's a bag full. But you know, there's another one that came. His name was Jesus Christ. Amen? The whole reason for Christmas, the whole reason for the celebration of Christ coming to earth is so Jesus could get a bag. Amen? So God could become flesh and dwelt among us. And He got a record. And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. And this life is in His Son. And he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Amen. This record of God, this record of Christ back, his record on earth was one that was full of righteousness. There was no sin. He who knew no sin became sin for us. And yet he died. We all know that. I'm not saying anything new. He died for your sin and my sin, that we might be saved. You see, you said, why did he die? If the wage of sin, the penalty for sin is death, why did Jesus die? He died, not for his sins. He died for your sins and your sins and your sins and your sins. Teenagers, look up here. I'm preaching. He died for your sins. He died for the sins of the whole world. But he didn't stay dead. Because he's God. And 3 days later, after he paid sin's penalty in full, 3 days and three nights later, up from the grave he arose. Amen. And he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He died, he was buried, he rose again. And the Bible says that anyone and everyone that believeth this can be saved. Amen. That's the good news. That's the gospel. To anyone that understands they're a sinner and that Jesus offers them his righteousness, he will take away all of your sin and give you his righteousness. To everyone willing to make that trade, he's willing to make that for with you. Amen? That's called a Savior right there. That's called amazing grace. Where sin abound, grace did much more abound. Amen. But you know, Jimmy, Christians sin sometimes. Did you know that? In case you didn't, I was going to ask your wife. Oh, boy, you better be glad. Yeah, Jimmy, when Christians sin, this man didn't stop right there. That was a good illustration. I would have used it. But he didn't stop right there. And I love this part. Because he said, you know, Jimmy, when Christians sin, where does your sins go as a Christian? They go in your... in your bag. Yeah. But who's got your bag? Jesus does. Amen. My Bible tells me he removed it as far as the east is from the west. Gone, gone, gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Amen. I tell you, that's a great news for me. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. What an incredible illustration to show what our Savior, thank you, did for us. Now, you know, as I think about the close of this sermon, I think about the comparison. As I read Romans 5, here's some thoughts I had. The first Adam brought thorns to us. The second Adam wore thorns for us. The first Adam substituted himself for God. The second Adam substituted himself for sinners. The first Adam sinned when he ate of the tree. The second Adam bore our sins on a tree. The first Adam brought condemnation to mankind. The second Adam brought salvation to mankind. Adam's selfishness in the garden took life from us. Jesus' selflessness in the garden gave life to us. The first Adam ventured into things above that brought death. The second Adam ventured into things below that brought life to you and me. The essence of sin is man substituting himself for God, while the essence of salvation was man, God substituting himself for man so that he could redeem us. Man's asserting himself and prides himself only where God deserves to be, but God sacrifices himself for man and puts himself in a place where only man deserved to be. Oh, what a Savior. It's not 12 steps. It's not 10 steps. It's not try harder to do better. It's I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, Paul said. I'm dead, but I'm alive. But it's not me that's alive. It's Christ that's in me that's alive. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen? That's the Christian life. We don't need a better you. We need a deader you. That's what we need. We need you to let him represent you. Friday night we gave a sermon and we had four people come to Christ. Somebody say amen right there. This morning we had Sunday school, we had two come to Christ. Amen. I'm assuming maybe somebody else in the room needs to get saved. We're going to tell you, those who got saved, it's time for you to walk the aisle and get baptized. You know what baptism is? It's a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's saying, I got a representative. His name is Jesus. That's what it says. I'm a new creature in Christ. I've got a new home. I've got a new life. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Amen. And this morning, that's your next step. That's your step. But actually, it's his step. Because he who began a good work in you will perform it. He's going to make, it's all going to come out. Amen. I'm just telling you what it's going to look like when you obey him. And this morning's a great opportunity for you to obey him and follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Amen. Doesn't save you, but it shows others what Christ has done for you. Maybe there's other decisions in your life. Maybe you've got stubborn habits and addictions. Overeating, undereating. There's a lot. Maybe you worry, stress. There's a lot of addictions. You see, the way you overcome them is by letting him represent you. Your life, Romans 5 says, not just to save you from hell, but your very life is lived by Jesus Christ. That's what it said. Oh man, that gives me great hope today. Amen. In light of this sermon, so many people say, well, God's the God of the second chance. I preached a lot of messages like that and probably still will in some context. But in today's sermon, can I tell you what I want to say right now? God, the God of the second chance doesn't thrill me anymore. Because I blew the first one and the second one and the third one and the fifth one and the 40th one. Come on now, be honest. You say, I don't feel that desperate, then you're not looking hard enough. Amen. So maybe instead of saying God's the God of the second chance this morning, maybe we ought to say God's the God of one chance with a second Adam. And your life and my life can be wrapped up in him. That's the only way it's going to be different. It's not independence you need. It's total dependence you need on a Savior. Every head bowed, every eye closed.
Let's stand, please, if you will. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. And God has spoken to you through his man and through his word today. The question is, what will you do with it now? We're going to have an invitation. If you are not saved, not sure of that, step out and come. If you recently got saved, step out and make a public profession of your faith in Christ. He said, if you'll not deny me before men, then I won't deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. And so you need to come and make that a public profession of your faith and follow the Lord later in baptism. Get that taken care of. And then there's some Christians, as been mentioned, who need some to make some decisions and to do some things that God's laid on your heart and spoken to you about today. And after we pray, may God help you to come while we sing. Father, bless the invitation. Have your will. The word's been preached. The man of God delivered the truth. And the Holy Spirit, we know, has brought it to our minds and hearts. Now help us to do the right thing with it. I pray the unsaved would be saved. Christians who need help would come and get it. Others would come unashamed of the fact that they've trusted Christ as Savior. In his name we pray. Amen.